Today's headline, literally, today's headline, in the Daily Star Sunday edition. Super Blood Moon Apocalypse, Bible Prophecy Predicts End of World Just Days Away. I'm serious. Biblical prophecy suggests the end of days is due this month as the earth is set to witness a rare blood moon doomsday preachers have claimed. Unfortunately, that's true. There are false prophets and false teachers who are proclaiming the death and end of this world. This world will not come to an end until after the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ. And then there will be a new earth. Amen? And the city, New Jerusalem, will come down out of heaven, will be set here on earth, and the whole earth is going to be transformed. And by the grace of God, we'll all be there with him. We will have now new bodies. All the sickness, all the diseases, all the pains, all the death will have left and never to return again. And we will live for all eternity in a blessed state. And you know what the blessed state is? In his presence. That's the blessed hope we have, being in his presence. Because it doesn't matter anything. I don't care if you could live for all eternity. If you're not living in his presence, it's still a wasted eternity. Because there's millions and billions of people who will live for eternity in hell. Glory to God. So, it goes on to say and all this stuff, and people are predicting, and people have predicted the end of the world for so many times. Unfortunately, people listen to this stuff. And then even in the Christians, get caught up on it. And you go on YouTube and you can find all kinds of stuff like that. And they'll be looking and say, oh, the end of the world. Are there signs in the skies? Yes, there's going to be some signs. There's signs throughout. I gave you a list of signs when we started talking about this. 25 different signs that were in the end times. Jesus spoke about the times that there will be certain things to look for. Matter of fact, he said, I think it was in Matthew, let me see if I got it here someplace, 24, yeah, that's what I wanted, 30, 24, hallelujah. He said this, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. God's the only one who knows the day and the hour of Jesus' return to this earth to take us out of here. But he did tell us in signs what to look for the second coming of Christ when he steps foot on this earth. He told us what to look for because he's coming back to set up his kingdom here on earth. And because we believe in the pre-trib or the pre-trib rapture, in other words, we believe that before the whole tribulation seven-year mess comes, we're going to be out of here. We have scriptures to stand on. There's a ton of people out there who don't believe in it. There's a ton of people out there who say it's not true and all this stuff and that stuff and goes on and on and on. And so you, as all of us, each one of us, must make up our own mind what we want to believe. I don't want you to believe your faith on your feelings or emotions. In other words, that's what I want, so I'm going to believe it. Amen? Because there are certain times in this life that you're enjoying this life and you're not looking for his return. So if your emotions and feelings are determining your belief system and your emotions and your feelings can change on a dime, when something's going bad, you want out of here. When everything's going well, you want to stay. Right? So, we want to base what we believe on what the Word of God says that cannot change. Amen? What the Word says is going to stand. He said, not one dot or one tittle of this Word will pass away before it's fully, completely fulfilled. Amen? So if we can find the promises of his imminent, what they call the imminency of his return, or the immediacy of his return, In other words, there's no other things that have to happen scripturally for his return for the church. Nothing. So there isn't anything you can say, well, I got to see this before he comes back, or that's got to happen before he comes back. Everything is accomplished. Think about that. So he's not coming back on your dime. He's coming back at the word of his heavenly Father. And guess who is in that position to understand and expect his return? Each one of us. Why? Because we have the Spirit of God in us. And God says, I won't do anything unless first I tell the prophet. How many of you know you've got a spirit of prophecy in you? Because you have the Spirit of Christ in you, which is the spirit of, oh, come on now, which is the spirit of prophecy. So you have the ability to hear the voice of God, speak the voice of God, and obey the voice of God. So God isn't only going to show you in the Word, in His Spirit, He's also going to tell you. I often thought about it because in 25 years of doing this ministry, we've touched on this subject on and off. But we never really went into it like we have this time. Why? Because I believe the time is even shorter than we ever thought before. I think it's imminent, his return. My thoughts are now like, I wonder what it's going to be like to be taken up in the twinkling of an eye. In a moment of time, our bodies are going to be transformed from this weak, dying, sinful body. In a moment of an eye, twinkling of an eye, we're going to put on a glorified body. Wonder what that's going to feel like. Whew. It's coming though. So my hope and my prayer is that we get to where I want to get to this morning. So I want to go back and recap some of the things to remind us, to put it kind of in order so that we understand where we come from, what we've read, what we studied, what we looked at, what we talked about. So we don't just say, okay, here's what I got to do to be prepared for a cup. But let's build a base again, or we have been building a base, but let's remind ourselves how this is all to come together. In John 16, verses 12 and 13, he talks about the Spirit of Truth coming, and he says, and the Spirit of Truth will tell you of things to come. How many of you know it's important to hear the voice of Jesus? How many of you know that you're not going to hear him up here? You're going to hear him from here. From the very belly, right here where the Spirit of God is in you. And there's something in there that says, I'm coming soon. Well, I don't hear that. Have you stopped and listened? Have you said to the Father, is the Son getting ready? Is he almost coming? Is he coming soon? Is he ready to come? And then be still and listen to what he's got to say to you. Because he will tell you. He won't tell you the day or the hour, but he will let you know we're in that time. The Father will not do a thing unless he first tells his people, I'm sending him back. Get ready. Also, in Revelation 3:13, he said, whoever has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. He tells us, you have spiritual ears to hear what the Spirit of God is speaking to us. If you cannot hear his voice, you need to think about this. Because he said, my sheep know my voice, they hear my voice. It's not like, well, I can't. You hear his voice if you're his child. If you've been adopted into the family, you know his voice. He said, a voice of a stranger you'll not follow. So if you have not ever heard his voice, or you can't distinguish his voice, you can ask him. He'll help you. No question. But if you say to yourself, well, I never hear it, and I don't think God speaks to us, be careful. Maybe you're not where you should be as far as having a relationship with your Heavenly Father. Maybe you're not His child. Well, that's not a big deal, because all you have to do is say, Father, forgive me of my sins. I confess Jesus Christ of Nazareth died on the cross, was buried and rose on the third day, and He's seated in heaven right now interceding for me. I believe that I'm washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm cleansed of all unrighteousness. I thank You that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you shall be saved. That's no big deal. See, it's not like you got to jump through hoops. It's not like you got to do a lot of, well, I got to go to this class and that class, and I got to do this and that. All you have to do is acknowledge that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. And call on His holy name, Jesus Christ, and He will save you. Amen? It's not a work of man. It's a work of the Spirit, the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God being poured out on all flesh, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord. What a precious... People don't say, well, I'm not ready. Ready for what? What are you not ready for? To go to heaven? You're more ready to go to hell? You'd rather go to hell than go to heaven. That's what you're saying to us. You'd rather go to hell than to heaven. Don't understand it. In Matthew 24, if you go there with me, we know that scriptures, right? That's very well-known scriptures. But as you look at that, you're going to find there's three areas in that Matthew 24. He talks about the destruction of the temple. That happened in 70 AD. That's already accomplished. That's already done. Not one stone stands above him. You go to Jerusalem now and you go there and you'll see that there's no temple. It was destroyed. Then he goes into the church and what's going to happen in these hours, in these days, where we're at now. And then he goes into talking about what's going to happen during the tribulation period of time. So we have to be careful when we look at these. Where is he taking us? Where is it in here so we don't get mixed up? Because if you're looking for the destruction of the temple, you're looking at it's already accomplished. Amen? There's a third temple that's going to be built. Matter of third temple has already, they already have all the parts and ready. They got all the instruments. They've got everything ready. So I heard one place that they even got the red heifer. The red heifer is a small calf that they need that's perfectly red with no spots, not even a white hair on it. They go over it meticulously. Then they sacrifice it. They take the ashes from that, and then they sprinkle it. And it becomes part of the ceremony of cleansing for the temple, preparing it for God's use. All these things, they already have. So if you're looking for them to take years to build a temple, they could probably build it in 6 months right now. Because they have structured it so that they can just bring in the parts and put it all together. So we are coming to that day, but... Let's look at chapter 24, verse 4. Now we're talking about our time. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Do you know that? How many? Sun Yung Moon said he was the Christ. There's many of them that said they're the Christ. David Koresh. I mean, all these people. And you know, these people, who was it, the Gates, what was that group? Remember Gates? They killed themselves. The what? Yeah, some of they believed that the tribulation was coming, so they killed themselves, thinking that they're going to go right up. And anyways, there's a lot of stuff out there. Be prepared. Just because somebody says something, don't believe it unless you go to the Word and receive it. Amen. And that goes for me too, by the way. Don't look at me like I got everything right. 99% maybe, but not 100. I can miss by 1%. What? But let me tell you something. 1% can kill you. the 1% can send you crazy. So, no, I was only kidding anyways. It wasn't quite 99. Anyways, and Diane would agree with me if she was here. So, all right, that's it. All right. Yeah, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Again, everybody says, well, they happen all the time, but they're happening more intensely, more closer together, and more all at the same time. Amen? So let's go on. And then they will deliver you to a tribulation and kill you, and will be hated by all nations for my name's sake, and then many will be... are you seeing that? When people say, well, that's not... Yeah, remember something. You're part of the body of Christ. You are not the body of Christ. Amen? Just because you're not seeing that, experiencing that, it's happening to the body of Christ. Go into the Middle East. Go where ISIS is. They're killing people just because of the name of Jesus that they believe in. Our brothers and sisters are being slaughtered for his glorious name. Well, it's not me. I'm happy. Oh, yeah. So I'm going to come into your house. I'm going to take your husband out or your wife out or your children out, and I'm going to kill them, but it won't bother you because it wasn't you. Of course it will. And it should bother each and every one of us that this stuff is going down in other parts of the world. They are our family. If you're adopted into the family of God, if you are part of the family of God, they're killing your brothers and sisters right now. There's more have been, well, they say martyred, killed for the name of Jesus in this 20th century than ever before. Amazing. Anyway, let's go on. Hallelujah. All right. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound and love of many will grow cold. Is that happening? But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. Then the end will come. They're right now trying to get satellites in the air that everybody throughout the whole world will be able to get on the internet. And that word will be preached throughout the whole world. Everything is in place. We shouldn't be ignorant of these. Matthew 24:36. Hallelujah. He said this, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Should we know the signs? Jesus tells us in Luke 12, he said this to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot, and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearances of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Amen. Yeah, he was talking to them because they didn't recognize who he was. They missed the time of their visitation. Jesus wept over that nation because they did not realize that the Savior came to them to set them free. We, many times, don't recognize the signs of the time. We look around and we see that something happened in the stock market and say, oh, we're going to get a crash. We see the signs coming. Everybody's predicting a crash in the stock market. We see that, oh, there's signs of discord among the nation. Oh, there is. You know. We can see certain things. But God spoke to us thousands of years ago to prepare our generation, this generation for the return of Jesus Christ. And he called you to be part of this glorious, most glorious. It was great when he came the first time. And without his coming the first time in his death and burial and resurrection, we'd all be lost in our sins. Imagine what it's going to be like when he comes for his church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Think about it. Think about it. You think you got a smile now? Oh, you won't be. Come on. One step from eternity, my friends. One glorious step into eternity. And the good news is, you don't even have to take the step. You're just going to go. Hallelujah. Amen. In 2 Timothy, a reminder again, we've talked about these scriptures. Listen to what he says here. But know this, that in the last days, which we're in, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves. I'm so amazed. It's so easy to see that. What do they take? What's the big thing now? Selfies. How many selfies have you guys taken of yourself? I think I got one. Diane and I did one on a trip one time. We took one. But that's what it's all about. It's all about self. Oh, thank you. You deserve not to have to pay off your credit card. You ever hear that? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're lovers of self. Will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Does that sound like a generation that we've seen? We hear them on the streets constantly. They're walking the streets. Instead of being thankful that they live in a nation like this, unthankful people. Glory to God. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. Right out of the newspapers, my friends. Right off the news reports. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. So we're again looking, okay? What are the signs we're looking for? Are we seeing them? Yes, we are. Amen. Now, because we can see those signs that we're coming to the end of days, what happens to us? We have to recognize and remember that God has not said that the church of Jesus Christ should go through the wrath of God. In other words, when God starts dealing with this worldly system, amen, God is not against the people. He loves the people. He hates the system that's been set up that's an ungodly, lawless system. That Washington, I don't think there's any word better than swamp. Amen? That thing is an ungodly, lawless situation over there. You understand? There is not one thing in that system that we can say is good. I'm not talking about the people. I'm talking about the system. The intent was good. But every man-made intent always ends up in disaster. You understand that? Somebody said, well, our Constitution was given to us by God. Yes, it was, right here. You want to see it? You want a nation that is going to run for all eternity? It's going to be based on the Word of God, not the Word of man. This is the best that man could do. But it was bound to fail because it was man-written. That's a hard thing to say. Is there anything better out there? No. It's the best that man could come up with. But everything that man does always gets messed up because man's involved in it. Because you can have the perfect constitution, which is written in here, and because man's heart is not perfect, they won't follow perfect constitution. It'll end up imperfect, except the Spirit of God is involved in it. Because how many people interpret this thing the way they want it to be interpreted? Nobody's smiling right now. How come? How do I know it's imperfect? Because if it was perfect, it would be eternal. The United States is not eternal. Understand that. The only perfect thing, the perfect truth, is eternal. That's why he said you're a citizen of heaven, not of earth, of this world. We're ambassadors for Christ. We were set here in America to be a light to those in darkness that live in America. Some are called into other countries and they're called out and they go to other countries and they do what God instructs them to do there. But we're not. Jesus said, listen, if this was of my world, if this was mine, right? Speaking of Israel, if this was mine, we'd fight for it. But he said it wasn't. You understand that? The system that he came under was just as imperfect as this one. And he didn't defend it. He didn't fight it. What he did is what his father instructed him to do. To share the good news of the kingdom of God in the midst of all the junk going on around him. He's saying, listen, you can still have peace. You can still have joy. You can still see your father's provision. You can see his protection. You can see him. Because even in the midst of the darkness, there is light. The light is the hope that we have in him. Too many Christians are looking to try to somehow keep a hold of the things of this world and have the things of the kingdom also. He said, you're going to have to let go of one of them. Amen? Let me ask you a question. Is your love for this country greater than your love for your family? Back quiet. Okay. Is your love for your family greater than your love for Jesus? Jesus said, unless you hate your mother and father, your brother and sisters more than me, you have no part in me. What was he saying? He doesn't want you to hate somebody. He wants your love for him to be so much greater than your love for them. That in the eyes of people, when the people in your family says you turn away from him and follow us, you say, uh-uh, I got to follow him rather than follow you. And your family may reject you. Your family may turn away from you. Your family will call you all kinds of names. Your family won't treat you the same. It's happened, and it continues to happen. So if our love for him must be greater than our love for our family, and our love for our family is greater than our love for this country, then the things of this world and the things of this country aren't as great to us, as important to us, as our important thing with God is. Now, am I anti-America? No, I praise God every day. I pray for this nation. I pray for our government. I pray for our people. and those in authority over us. I pray for them every day. At least if I hope I do. I was in service for 4.5 years. I know. I served my country, or this country. But then I found out I'm a citizen of another country, just sent here as an ambassador. So yes, I feel bad for this nation as it falls slowly apart. But I expect it to. I don't pray for it to. I don't rejoice in it. But I can have this expectation it's going to happen. Hallelujah. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. This is good news. This is good news. Jesus is coming back soon. We got to go faster. I'm running out of time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 says this in verse 9. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Thank you, Lord. Who's going to deliver us? Not us. Amen? Jesus. He's coming back. We're not accounted. We're not set here to go through the wrath of God. Now listen, it doesn't mean we won't go through some tough times. But compared to what it's going to be like during the tribulation, whatever we go through, be nothing. Bad as it can get, it's going to be 100 times worse. And you don't want that. You don't want to love this world enough to stay around. Can you imagine what it's going to be like? Well, I'm getting way ahead of myself. Let me go on. Go to chapter 5 in 1 Thessalonians. Hallelujah. Verse 9. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. In other words, let's encourage one another with these words. We can look at each other and we can say, boy, you're going through a tough time. Yeah, but Jesus is coming back soon. We can get through this together. We can help each other and hope together for his coming. And he's coming soon. So yeah, you're going through a tough time now, but there's coming a day when he comes back. We're out of here. Amen. Now, in Revelation 3:10, one more scripture in that. He's talking to the Church of Philadelphia. Calls it the faithful church. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. He said, I'll keep you from that hour of trial. That word trial just goes into time of wrath, of great tribulation. Amen? He's going to keep us from it. Amen? Hallelujah. And right now, we're thinking to ourselves, well, you know, what's the big deal? Think about the worst day you've ever seen here. Think about that volcano that's constantly erupting over in Hawaii. The devastation that's happening there. That's nothing compared to what's going to be going on. Earthquakes. I was laughing because I was reading an article and they were talking about how the rich are building bunkers now because people actually believe there's something bad coming. They just don't have a clue what it is. But they're building these luxury bunkers. I mean, these things are better than any house I lived in. Underground. When the earthquake strikes this world, in this earth, ain't no bunker underground going to save you, because the earthquake comes from underground. It'll push that thing right up out of it if it even doesn't crush it all together. So all the preparations of man is useless. Amen? If by the grace of God you make it through the tribulation period, and I think it's like 1/4 of the people are going to make it, that's about it, throughout the whole world, and you happen to be one of them, it's by God's grace alone that that'll happen, not by your preparations, whatever that preparation might happen to be. Amen? Hallelujah. All right. So let's look at quick on a couple instances here. Going to Matthew 24. Back to there. And we just read it. Didn't really, but we'll go back and read it again. Verse 37. But as the days of Noah's were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came that and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. So we see that we have examples already of God showing us what it's going to be like at the rapture. You have the days of Noah. You see it there. He says that 8 people got saved out of the whole world. And what did God do? God warned Noah and told him to get ready for the flood. Is God telling us to get ready for something? Uh-huh. And it says that God shut the door of the ark when they got in. Let me ask you a question. Who is the door? Jesus. And once that rapture happens, he said others are going to want to go in, but they're not going to be able to get in. Amen? They're going to wish they could. Because when that happens, remember something. That this world is filled with believing Christians. Filled with them. If you take out, let's just say America. Let's just take America. How many millions of Christians in America today? Born again, spirit-filled children of God. I am not talking about just people who go to a church. These are people who have committed their life to Christ, accepted his sacrifice for their sins, acknowledged that he was buried, and he died, and he was rose again on the third day, and they acknowledge that he's seated in heaven right now, interceding for them, and they are believing in the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses them of all unrighteousness, and they have set their hearts after him. And they will not be changed from it. They will not deviate one iota from that acknowledgement. These are people who committed their hearts to God, and God committed his life to them. These are the people who are going to be gone. So let's say there's, I don't know how many millions. How many policemen? How many firemen? How many doctors? How many nurses? How many teachers are going to be gone in the twinkling of an eye? What do you think it's going to be like down here? Sure. You think it's lawlessness now in the streets? Let's take 1/3 of the police force out. How many in the military gone? What's it going to be like? So Noah was an example of the taking out. That God, first of all, tells his people, this is what I'm going to do. I made up my mind. I'm done with this. He makes up his mind to deal with it. Second of all, when I say make up his mind, there's a certain time, okay? In heaven, there's no time. down here, we equate everything in that way. But there's a certain period where God is going to say, now, go. I'm talking to his son. All right. So he decides he's going to do it. Second, he tells us about it. And third, he does it. All right. And this is typical through the whole thing. So now we look at Noah, we look at Lot. Let's look at Lot. Amen? Righteous man living in Sodom and Gomorrah. Some people think that's where we live today. God spoke to Lot and told him, I'm going to deal with this. Get out and take your family with you. Then what happened? Fire and brimstone. Then we come to Moses. We got Moses. Right? God decides he's going to set the captives free. He prophesied about it. Said after 400, you're coming out. Then he told us, Moses, I need you to go and take my children out of here. What did he do? He had him put the blood over the doorpost and over the lintel, right? Told him you have to eat the full lamb. Prepare yourself to leave. I'm taking you out of that mess and bringing you into a more glorious place. When it was time for them to go, God had to deal with the nation of Egypt. And finally, because of the wrath of God dealing with Egypt, and that's what you're talking about here, firstborn was lost throughout every Egyptian home. Every Israelite home that did not do what God commanded them to do also. And God delivered him out of there. It's interesting, if you look at Moses, there was a time when Moses was called to go up to the mountain. And God met him there in a cloud. The Bible says there's coming a time we're going to be called up to meet him in the clouds. Rahab. Rahab was another example. Prostitute. Was delivered because her sacrifice and obedience to God. Her and her whole family. So we see throughout the scriptures that there are examples given to us of this thing called the rapture, even though the rapture, as we have explained before, is not in the Bible. In other words, the word rapture is not there. When he's talking about being caught up, it's the Latin word rapio, which means, if you translate it into English, rapture. So that's where we get the word rapture from. So it's not as if it's not explained there. It just means that one word isn't there. But, of course, we can also look at the word for Trinity is not in the Bible anyplace. How many know that? The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But the word Trinity isn't in the Bible. So just because the word rapture isn't there doesn't mean it won't happen. Go with me in 1 Thessalonians 4. So what's going to happen at that time? We're getting to the place where I wanted to get to. We're just going back over because I wanted to kind of put it in order. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, but I do not want, verse 13, excuse me, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. In other words, those who died, and we know to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. So we know those who have gone before us and are in the grave, their bodies are in the grave, but their spirit and their soul is with Jesus in heaven. And when the time comes for Jesus to come back for the church, he's bringing with those that had died in Christ, and he's going to bring them back with him in the air and in the clouds. Their spirit and their soul. Amen? And then what's going to happen? For if we believe, verse 15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. In other words, we're not going to go to him before those who have died in Christ, their bodies. He says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Those bodies are going to come up out of the grave. People always say, well, what if they died in a fire? It doesn't matter. If God was able to create man from the dust of the earth, I think he's able to recreate them from ashes. Well, what if they got eaten by fish? Unless Sandy and her husband caught all of them and ate them. Did you ever stop to think? No. I want to get your mind over there. God's able to do anything. And he's able to bring them all back together. And those bodies are going to arise. They're going to meet their spirit and their soul that's in with Jesus in the air. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So in other words, first the dead in Christ are going to come up out of the grave. I still say I don't know how much time there is element between them coming out of the grave and us going up. Amen. It could be instantaneously. It could be, I don't know how long. It doesn't explain it. But the good news is we're not left behind. Go with me into 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Hallelujah. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. The Bible tells it the spirit's alive because of Christ, but the body is dying because of sin. The body is still corrupted. You remember the stories I told you about the dreams I had? Well, one dream, I was there, and I had a pure white shirt on, but I had black pants on. And for a long time, I couldn't understand it. Then when I was that little lamb, I had white fur, or whatever they call it, wool, pure white. I mean, I was pure white, but my little hooves were pure black. And I used to think about that. And the Lord says, as long as you're on this earth, what you touch of this earth is corrupted. That's why the body's dying. But there'll come a day when we're called up. It says the corrupted will put on the incorruptible. And at instant, your body will become glorified, as the Bible calls it. In other words, no more death, no more dying. No more sickness, no more diseases, no more sadness, pure joy. How is that possible? With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. The possibility of living an eternal life in Christ without any more sadness and sickness and disease and death and destruction. I don't know if there's going to be seasons, but I don't know how it can be, because seasons dictate that something has to die. The trees aren't going to die. The grass is pure green. It's not going to be brown and green. Everything as God intended it to be from the very beginning, made perfect. Wow. Hallelujah. Look what he said, goes on to say. Behold, I tell you a mystery. Glory to God, a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Listen to that. We shall not, how many of us? All. Amen? Hallelujah. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Now, some people believe, and it's no big deal how you want to believe it. Some people believe there's going to be a trumpet sound. But some people believe it's the voice of God saying, come on up hither. Come on up here. You remember in the time of Revelation, there's going to be two witnesses in Israel? Amen? And it says that they will be killed. And they lay in view of everybody throughout the whole world. Because you're going to have satellites. So everybody will be out in the whole world to see these two laying dead. And they'll rejoice that they died. They'll be happy they're dead because they have been preaching the good news. And they didn't want to hear it. And then after 3 days, it says that a voice from heaven said, come on up. They stood up alive again. And were caught up. That's us. He's going to say to you, come on up here. In the twinkling of an eye, just like that. You'll be changed, be transformed, and you'll end up in heaven. In the heavenlies, I should say. And eventually, up into heaven. All right, let me go on here. Let me finish it. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where's your sting? O Hades, where's your victory? Hallelujah. So the time's coming for the church to be prepared for the coming of the Lord, that we can leave this place. Now, I wanted to get to where I wanted to get to. Let's start it anyways. I don't know if I'll finish it. I can read off the scriptures to you if you want. You know me, I like to add some things here and there. So I've been saying, okay, what do we have to do to be ready for the coming of the Lord, to be ready for the rapture, to be ready to be taken out of here, to be ready? Amen? First thing we got to recognize, it's not us, but it's Christ in us. Amen? In Titus, go there in Titus. Excuse me. In Titus chapter 3, we have to get this clear, because if we don't, we will think that we have to earn our way there. Amen. Somehow. And it's not earning your way there. Okay? It's, oh, glory to God. And this should comfort you more than anything else. This should comfort you more than anything else. I don't have to earn my way to heaven. In other words, it's not how good you are. It's how good He is. Amen? You're not riding on your works. You're writing on His works. All it took was faith in His works. It's not something you have to earn. It's not something you have to struggle with. It's something that you just accept the fact that He loved me enough to die for me. God loved me enough to bring Him up out of that grave. God loves me enough to take him to be with him. It's all based on his love, not mine. 3:5 says this, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, not by our works. Thank you, Jesus. The hardest thing in the world is for religious people to accept this righteousness by faith. Man in his own image figures he's got to do something to earn this. And because we fail miserably in living a holy and righteous life, we figure it's not worth even trying. That's what's so good news about this. You are healed not because you deserve to be healed. You're healed because he died and took upon himself all your sicknesses and all your diseases. All you had to do is accept and acknowledge that fact. That's all. That's it. All right. Get ahead of myself. All right. Go into Romans 4. I want just a couple more of those. Verse 3. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Amen? Just believe in him. Just believe in him. Just believe in it. Just believe. Like in 2 Corinthians. We drive this home. I 2 Corinthians, where did I tell you to go? Didn't? Oh. No wonder I didn't know where I was going. 3, verse 5 says this. But if anyone has... No, that's not where I want to be. Where am I? Oh, I'm in 2. No wonder it didn't look where I wanted to be. On chapter 3, verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is of Christ. In other words, it's God working in us. Amen? It's God in us. The hope that we have in going to be with him is the Christ that dwells within you that brings you that hope. I'm not going to get there on my own. I know my failures. I know my weaknesses. But I also know that Jesus Christ of Nazareth dwells within me. The Spirit of God in me is what's going to draw me up there, not my good works. Amen? Keep that. Keep that. But is there anything that we should also consider in all of this? Of course there is. So, let's quickly go through them. You ready? In Matthew 24, we're going to get through these. You're going to just give me, I know you love me, so you give me the time. Listen, I could have had a ton more of these, but I didn't. I cut them off. All right, after 50. All right. I'm only kidding. Okay. Listen to this. Verse 4. I'm going to start here. 42. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. In other words, the first thing I want you to do is be ready for it. Be ready. Amen? If you were a fireman and you were living in the firehouse, you were always ready for the fire alarm to sound. Right? And you had to have your clothes ready so you can jump right in and ready to go. Well, I'm going to tell you what. If you're going to look for your righteousness at the time that he calls you, you'll miss it. You got to be ready. Okay, I'm skipping a lot of these. I'm coming down to this one down here because I want to go to 1 Thessalonians 5. Hallelujah. And it does. These are not in any specific order, but I wanted this to go with that. Look, 5:17. Pray without ceasing. All right, remember that. Pray without ceasing. What is pray? What is prayer? Communication. So communicate with God daily, every day, and multiple times during the day. Keep the communication line open, because if he's coming calling you, you want to be able to hear it. Joshua 1:8. Go there quick. Hallelujah. You know what that one says, right? Excuse me. Here. Joshua 1:8. He said this. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written. So what I wrote for these two was communicate and meditate. Communicate, keep that communication between him and you, and then meditate on his word. In other words, if you start thinking that maybe this just isn't happening, go back and read the scriptures. Go back and read the scriptures about you going out of here in the twinkling of an eye, going out of here, you're not accounted for wrath. Go back and meditate on those. Why? Because it's going to refresh your memory. All of a sudden, you're going to get back and say, oh, yeah, that's right. I got to get ready for this thing. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay. Luke 21. You know this scripture? It's one of my favorites concerning this area. All right. Verse 34 we'll start in. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. Colossians 3:2 is another scripture, and what I said after that is don't get distracted. That's what the enemy is good at. He's calling you and distracting you from keeping your eyes on the things that God is calling you to keep your eyes on. This world is a distraction. The internet can be a distraction. TV can be a distraction. Are they bad? No. But if they take your life, if that's all there is about you, and you can't wait to get on Facebook, and you can't wait to do this, and you can't wait to do that, maybe you're being distracted from what God is trying to get you to look at. And the enemy's good at that. Amen? And it's going to increase. In these last days, it's going to get even worse. The enemy knows his time is short, and he's going to keep on fighting you. All right, go to Hebrews 12. Almost done. Give me a couple more. Hallelujah. Yeah, I know. I keep saying that, don't I? All right. Now you can write these scriptures down with it. 1 John 3, 1 through 3. Romans 13, 11 through 14. And Titus 2:13. These are all coming out of this same area. Hebrews 12:14 says this, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see God. In other words, he didn't say you have to be perfect or you won't see God. He said pursue it. At least have a heart's desire to keep peace with everybody around you, even your enemies, but also make sure you keep your eyes on him, and when you do sin, you repent quickly. Amen. Recognize, repent quickly. God says if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you. He's not going to condemn you. He's not going to beat you up. He's not going to tear you down. But if you allow sin to continue without repentance, what will happen is your heart will go hard and you'll start walking away from him. So what you want to do is pursue peace. If at all possible, be at peace with all men. Amen? Doesn't mean that everybody's going to be at peace with you. So don't look for that. Don't determine whether you're at peace with all men if everybody loves you. Is not everybody going to love you? Amen? There's times that we all have difficulty loving you. It's the same. You're going to have difficulty loving me at times. I understand that. But you can at least be at peace with me. You can say, God, he belongs to you. You deal with him. That leaves you at peace. Amen? Now, and then the other part of it is, pursue holiness. So when you know that's sin, don't keep going that way. Fight it. Fight it. Fight it. Trust God. Don't lean on your own understanding. How do you fight it? Easy. David said, I hid your word deep within my heart that I might not sin against you. The more word you get, the less likely you will sin. Got nothing to do with the works of the flesh. Listen to me. If you actually have a sin, because I know I have that, and you think, I'm just not going to do that again, wrong. You will. But if you start confessing God's word, amen, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus set me free from the law of sin and death, all of a sudden God starts working in me. And the more I allow that word to go into my heart, it pushes out the desire for that sin. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay. 2 Peter 1:3. Says this. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. In other words, trust Jesus in all things. Amen. In trusting in Jesus in all things, you also have an attitude of thankfulness. Because when you ask for something you have need of, you know that your Father heard you, and the first thing you do is say thank you. The second thing you do is rejoice and give him praise, for he has answered your prayer even before you see it. Hallelujah. All right? So praise him and thank him for being part of his rapture. Thank you, Lord. I trust you are able to keep me. I trust you're able to get me. Hallelujah. Okay. Ready? 1 John 3:2 says, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. In other words, seek to please God instead of seeking to please self. Amen? I know that's difficult at times. A lot of times we seek to please God by pleasing ourselves. That's not the way it works. Does that mean that life has to be miserable? No. It pleases God that you are blessed spirit, soul, and body. God wants you to prosper in all areas of your life, and it pleases the Father when he sees his children prospering. Amen? But don't let prosperity be your goal. Your goal is to please him, and in your pleasing him, prosperity comes. And when prosperity comes, you no longer become gluttonous, and you no longer become, greedy, because your goal wasn't for that anyways. Your goal was to please him. Oh, my goodness gracious. And that was in 1 John 3:22 or Philippians 2:13. Okay, Romans 8. I'm almost done. Give me a couple more minutes. Like I said, I could have had more than these, but I knew that. Well, anyways. Romans 8:14 says this, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. In other words, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh loves the world and the things of the world, but the Spirit loves God and the things of God. Amen? So what you want to do is make sure you're walking in the Spirit. In Psalms 143:10, the same thing. Read that. And as I said earlier, in 1 John 1:9, he said, confess your sins, for he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. If you fall into sin, if you do sin, repent of it quickly. Just say, Father, forgive me, I've sinned. That's easy. You want to name the sin, you can. You don't have to go around and tell everybody about it. Amen? You don't have to come to the pastor and say, Pastor, you know, bless me because I sinned. No, you don't have to do that. All you have to do is go to your Heavenly Father who loves you, who sent His Son to die for you, who loved you enough to raise Him from the dead so that you have something to look at and say, because He lives, I shall live also. Because He rose from the grave, so will I. Or we'll go into rapture. Amen? Hallelujah. Remember what we finished saying in Revelation 22. We looked at it last week. Three things He said, three times. He said, I come quickly. Amen? I come quickly. That's at the end of Revelation. Remember this. That'll be at the end of tribulation. Now, there's many signs showing His return during that time period. You'll be able to count it off, and you'll be able to see the number of days and years when He's ready to come back. But this time, the coming in the air is only for the church. It's for those who are looking for His appearing. It's those who are listening and ready for His coming. That's what this is about. That's what we're about. Amen? We can walk out that door and go right back into the worldly system, right back into the worldly mindset, right back into the, well, I got to get this done, I got to do that, I got to go here, I got to cook that, I got to do this. Or we can stop and say, Lord, everything I do is unto the Lord, because I know that You're coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle, and my life is in Your hands. I trust in You. I am going to be led by the Spirit, and I'm not going to continue to fulfill the lust of my flesh, because I am prepared and ready for the coming of my groom. Amen? He's coming. He's coming back for you because He loves you. It's an interesting thing that I never knew until I was starting to do this. And I used this, the marriage supper, the marriage of the Jewish marriage. Remember? We talked about that. Something I didn't realize until I just read about it. Do you know that when the groom took the bride back to his house, that they locked themselves together with no other person around for 7 days? When he takes us home, it'll be 7 years. Isn't that awesome? Then they came out, and they were seen by everybody. The bride and the groom. Woo! We'll be hid with Him. After 7, we'll come back. And everybody's going to see you in your glorious state. You're going to experience. Father, we thank You, Lord. What a privilege and an honor it is to be called a child of God, to be the bride of Jesus Christ. We are excited, Father. We're hungry. We want Your glorious presence here, fully and completely. We're ready, Lord. We're ready. Come, Lord Jesus. The bride and the Spirit say, come. We're waiting. We're ready. Have Your way in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.